someone in there who lived in that room where we had a big old stuffed chair and a reading light. And he usually set the chair, turned the light on and read. But he said that night, long about midnight, he said, I went in there and opened the Bible and knelt for that old chair, turned that reading light on, opened the pages of God's Word, and began to read. Hallelujah. And he said, I noticed I hadn't read over two or three chapters. Amen, till I noticed a change. Beginning to take place down in my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The comfort that it was looking for in the voice of a friend, and the fact that its loved ones had been with it. Amen. And the fact that the church people had prayed for him and given him offerings. Amen. What it could not find in those things. Hallelujah. He said, I found it when I opened the pages of God's Word and began to read it. Hallelujah. Give me this word. It'll comfort me. It'll stay with me when I'm down. It'll give me power when I'm weak. It'll fill me with love and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. If you'll stay with this. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Glory, 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 glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Oh, Brother Robinson would tell us in the Bible. It was about in his 70s when I was there in Bible school. They told him the Lord showed him he was going to live to be 86 years old. Well, I think the Lord showed me that. I'd keep it to myself. Just in case it didn't happen to me the way. That's the kind of man he was, and he lived. He was old Mayo's daddy. Down in Atlanta, Georgia, you know. I forgot the Mayo's. Tremendous, great, tremendous of God, man. All right, this generation of Southwestons went on, brother. Brother Edward Sadler took Philip down there, they enrolled him in school. And they rented a little apartment from Brother Robinson upstairs. Brother Robinson still lived there, walks the hatchet. And, this time cataracts had covered his eyes, and he was nearly blind. He finally had the cataracts removed before he died, got his sight back, I think. But because of a sugar problem, both legs had been amputated here at his trunk. Just a couple steps off of a flare. And so, after they made the arrangements with Sister Robinson for the apartment, he was getting ready to go. And he told his wife, said, I wonder if Brother Robinson would want to see me. And Sister Sadler said, well, I don't know. Why don't you just go ask Sister Robinson? So he went back to the door and said, Sister Robinson, I want a Brother Robinson next Tuesday. And I wonder if it would be all right if I went in to see. Oh, brother. Sadler said, you were always, you know, it would make his day if you go see him, you know. And so he said, well, I'll go in and cheer that old man up. And be a blessing to him. Now, see, if anybody had a right to be bitter about his condition, this old man did. Because, when he had his legs, he would walk and preach wholeness meetings out in schoolhouses. You know, and I've heard him tell about when his shoe soles would be full of holes and have stick cardboard in them, you know, and the rain and the gravel coming. And he would walk. While his legs were good, he would walk. And he would tell people about Jesus. As long as he had his eyes, amen, he'd read the Word of God. And he'd preach sermons. Now they were blind. Now his legs were gone. And he could say, this is the thanks I get for that. Amen.
The old Brother Sadler said, I went in there to start to cheer him up. And he said, hi, Brother Robinson. I'm Brother Sadler, one of your old ex-two. Oh, Brother Sadler, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I said, isn't God good? Amen. He said, come in, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if you make the Word of God your stay, it'll not forsake you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it'll keep you sweet. It'll do that much for you. You won't get soured on everything that comes along every time some disappointment comes your way. Amen, amen. The word of God will keep you sweet. It's sweeter than honey out of the comb. Amen. Fill your life with the word, something sweet, and you'll be sweet. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. If anybody had a right to be bitter, that old man did. But I found out, see, that the word of God is hid in our heart. See, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's 20th verse. And I asked the Lord not to let me preach as long. I just got 10 minutes to go and keep up with what I did last night. Well, I'm going to preach 5 more minutes if everybody leaves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, it's the best treasure, the word of God, hid in the best place in your heart for the best reason, that you might not sin against God. Hallelujah. And it's in our heart. It's not in our memory. We call it memory verses, but it's not really in our memory, in our mind. It is in our heart. Amen. We hide it in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. She come, I thought maybe she was giving me the sign language there. Amen. What does this mean? Oh, excuse me. She sent a note up one time to the pulpit and said, K-I-S-S. Oh, those kids thought it was so sweet. K-I-S-S. What does that mean? Said, keep it short, stupid. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They said, stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard, and shut up to be appreciated. Amen. So I'm fixing to try to commence to, and I just really, to tell you the truth, just now got to the best part. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When I was working for J. Paul Getty, amen, I come in and I just want to do something for the Lord. I was barely a month old or two in the Lord, and there were some old people around in our neighborhood that went to the church down there and wasn't able to get out, and so I'd go read the Bible to them. Amen. And you know, you got to have a super ego or something. Who would want me to come and see them? But they say, we want you to come, Brother Gibson. So they told me, so I would. This little 19-year-old kid, so I would go see him. They told me, yeah, you blessed me, Brother Gibson. Come and see me. So I would run across one old lady by the name of Grandma Perry. She was in her 90s. Amen. And I would go over there, and boy, she had preached 10 years down in her life someplace. And boy, I'd go over there, and I'd read the Word of God to her, and she'd explain it to me, you know. Amen. And she'd tell me that the old is in the new, contained the new is in the old. Contained and the old is in the new explained, you know. Amen. And she would tell me that, you know, you don't build a doctrine on one scripture. Amen. Boy, you get another scripture and don't isolate a scripture and build a doctrine on it. You get them and you fit them together. You dovetail them together. Amen. She taught me that the best commentary on scripture was scripture itself. I didn't know it, but I could have skipped first year Bible school on what this old lady taught me. Amen. Hallelujah, yeah. And so I'd go over and she'd say, oh, sweetheart, said, I haven't had anything to eat all day. Oh, Grandma, said, it's terrible. So I'd make her a piece of toast and coffee. And I'd go, she'd bed fast. I'd go there, I'd give her the toast, and she'd drink the coffee, and I'd read the Bible to her, and boy, she'd explain the Bible to me. Amen. So her sister lived next door, her daughter lived next door in an apartment, and I'm just like any ordinary human being, you know. I like to mind everybody else's business but my own. I went to her daughter and I said, your mama hadn't had anything to eat today. And she said, oh, baby. said, I went over and fixed Mama's breakfast for her and said, and said I carried lunch to her off my own plate. Said, Mama's eating with you, but that her mind is so deteriorated that she doesn't remember whether she ate or not. And I didn't realize, took several years for me to realize what I was witnessing in that old lady. Amen. Now here was a lady whose mind had deteriorated so bad that she had forgot whether she had eaten or not that day. But the word of God she had put in her heart years before, it was still, I'm telling you, it was line upon line, precept upon. You could not mix her up on it yet. That's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Then I realized, amen, it's not a thing of the memory. It's not a, we call it memory verses. It's not a memory verse. It's a thing of the spirit. It gets in your spirit, man, and it gets in your spirit. You've got it. Hallelujah. Amen. See, this song, the second chapter, the second verse of the song, The Love of God, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, it would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, stretched from sky to sky. You know where that was found? They'll tell you in a notation in some of the song books that that verse of that song was found inscribed on the wall of a padded cell in a state mental hospital after the inmate had died. My oldest boy heard me tell this first time about 103 years ago, more or less. He said, "You know what I think, Daddy?" I said, "No, Russ, what?" He said, "I think they have the wrong guy locked up." Amen. But see, long after your mind quits, your mind can wear out just like any other part of your body. Amen. But that word of God that you've got in your spirit, see, it's not going to leave you. Amen. Some of you might remember old Grandma Nelson used to be in the Galena Church. Amen. Well, she was my first wife's grandmother. Amen. And we would go see her. She was Sister Bascom's mother, Sister Nelson. Amen. Right over here in Galena where she died, in a nursing home over in Galena. Amen. Well, I was over there preaching for old McCamey 100 years ago. Amen. 20 years ago, maybe. No, yeah, 20 years ago. And I went to see her. Amen. Now, she had been bedfast for about 10 or 12 years. And hadn't been to church. Amen. I've been in that old nursing home for several years. Amen. And I had this theory about these old folks. If you had a nursing home service, if you do, you know, you just check this out. Now they'll see bears through the window, and they'll tell you that everybody's stealing everything they've got. Amen. And, you know, and they're a little oriented, and you know, and don't hardly know where they are. But you ask them about their salvation. You ask him about the things of God and see what kind of answer you get. Amen. Yeah, I asked him, yeah. So I checked this out with Grandma. I just began to notice this. I thought, well, I'm going to check this out with Grandma, you know. And so now she hadn't been in church in about 8 or 10 years. And so 10 or 12, I don't know how many, quite a while. And so I went over now, and her mind was so bad she couldn't recognize her own children. My wife's mama would go in there and she'd say, Mama, remember me? No, I don't believe it. I'm Melva, Mama. I'm your daughter, Melva. Oh, Melva. Yeah, Melva. And she was that bad, see. So, and so I just went in right behind her, and I think, well, I'll check this thing out. So I said, Grandma, are you a Christian? She said, sure I am. I said, what church you go to? She said, Assembly of God. And when that old lady said that to me, the Spirit spoke to me and said, see, Reed, didn't I tell you that I would never leave nor forsake you? Did not I tell you that I would not leave nor forsake you? Well, old Cornell was her pastor for several years, old Leslie Cornell. Cornell had a way of shaking hands with you, man, when you... you got a hold of Cornell. You knew that you know, and you couldn't look off and shake hands with Cornell. I mean, he would give it that. So he went to see her one day, and he peeked in and said, "Hi, Grandma." Said, "Remember me?" She said, "Don't believe I do." And so he went over there to her bed, got a hold of her, and said, "Who did that feel like?" She said, "That feels like Brother Cornell." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I was telling Cornell, I checked her out, you know, and said that, you know, she told me everything. She was a Christian, belonged to the Assemblies of God Church, had it all straight, you know, amen. And Elder Cornell said, "That's what I'm telling you, Reed." He said, "I've always said it." He said, "God's people have got more sense after they go nuts than the devil's crowd has." Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we love you tonight. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. All the promise of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the promise of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Everybody, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. All the promise of His love divine. Every chapter, the verse is mine. You know, if people would just learn. You see, you're not wasting your time down here listening to the Word of God and opening the Word of God, hearing the Word of God preached. Amen. I'm telling you, it'll see you through. It'll take you through the dark valley. Amen. And it's something you can build your life on. Amen. Life will make sense to you again if you'll just open your Bible and begin to read it. Hallelujah. So people lose sight, they lose purpose, they lose direction, they lose their way, amen. And they got their lives in such a mess, you know, you couldn't straighten it out. I had a fellow come to my church. He'd been married before, his wife had been married before. In fact, she'd been married to an Assembly of God preacher. And so in the wintertime, they had her kids. In the summertime, her kids would go back to their daddy, and his kids would come out from their mama. So they had two sets of kids, you know, in the year. They'd have one set during the wintertime, another set during the... It was a mixed-up thing. I'm telling you, it was so confused, you know. You know, I used to have a lot of luck fixing my kids' toys, you know. They thought I could do anything. You know, can you put the head back on this doll? Daddy, the seat's off our tricycle. Well, one day we'd bought a kite, and I'm telling you, we'd bought two balls of string. We had a little bit of money left over, so we bought two balls of string. And man, you can put one way up yonder with two balls of string. Well, it's Saturday afternoon, and all at once, here they come into my living room with that kite and a conglomerated mess of tangled up string, I'm telling you. And I pulled a couple of times on it, and it was impossible. So I just broke the string on this side, broke it on this side, tied it back together, and just sent them back out to play. Amen, see? Because as an earthly father, there are limits to what I could do. There's limits to my abilities. Amen. But I have a heavenly Father that no matter how tangled up you may find your situation tonight, He can bring some sense into it. See? Amen. So old J.W. and Lois, they started coming to the church, coming on Sunday morning. I didn't pressure them. I should have, I guess, but I just, not that way. I just preach and just make it as good as I can and open the altars. And so in about 3 or 4 months, one Sunday morning, here they come to that altar. Amen. Fell across that altar, shoulder to shoulder, and began to weep. And we didn't have nice carpet like y'all got. We just had tile on our floor. And they wept there before the Lord for about 30 minutes. And when they got through weeping, there was 2 puddle tears about that big. Amen. Just a little bit more, and they would have run together over there on the floor. And I mean just about the same size. Big old puddle of tears over here. Big old puddle of tears over here. They got up in that altar that night. Amen. In a week or two, they started coming on Sunday nights. They started paying their tithes. Amen. Started living for God. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this, that the only thing in that whole mixed up mess, you know, if they'd have asked me to straighten it out for them, I wouldn't have known where to took hold of it to straighten it out. Oh, you say, well, I know, you take this and back over here, you put it back over there, and you put that back over there. And you'd have a bigger mess than what you started out with. Like I say, if they would just take their hands off and say, Brother Reed, we're going to do everything that you tell us to do to get this straightened out. Amen. I wouldn't know where to take hold of it. I wouldn't know what to do. Amen. But I'll tell you this much. The only thing that made any sense at all in that whole mixed up mess when I knelt at that altar and began to pray. Woo! I'm telling you, God can give you direction. He can make your life worthwhile again. Hallelujah. He can make it count if you begin to seek His face, glory to God, and live on His word. Amen. I'm telling you, God will put the go in you. Hallelujah. Oh, if you seek Him tonight, I'm telling you, amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. You know, there was a town in Norway that was shelled. When the Nazis took it, they shelled it. When the Allies liberated it, they shelled it. And as a result, it was just laid in a shambles. I mean, there wasn't hardly one stone on top of another. And at the end of World War II, the newsmen of the town came around and they got the mayor and was making a tour of the city and expecting the mayor to give them a word, you know, or a statement at the end of the tour to encourage the people of this little old town. And so they took back where the hospital was, the civic buildings, you know, and there wasn't anything left anywhere. And boy, just rubble and ruin. And so they was expecting a statement from the mayor, and he just was looking around, and he just couldn't see anything that was encouraging. But it happened that this town was nestled at the foot of some beautiful, majestic, snow-capped mountains. And said the mayor lifted his eyes, and when he did, he saw those mountains, and said his face lit up just like he turned a light bulb on inside him, and they knew that a statement was forthcoming. They said, Mayor, have you got a statement for the people of this town? He said, yes, I have. You tell them that the mayor said. I said, thank God the mountains are still ours. Oh, saints, I wish I could tell you you'd never be in trouble. I wish I could tell you you'd never have your heart broken. I wish I could sit here to tell you tonight that life would never be in a shambles at your feet. Amen. But that's not the way I have found life to be. But I will tell you one thing. When life gets that way for you, hallelujah, just remember this. The mountains of God's promises are still yours. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Slip your hands up. Slip your hands up towards heaven. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the promise of His love, divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Well, come on, saints, let's fall before Him. Oh, let's fall before Him tonight. Glory to God. Lord, we love You. Oh, we appreciate the Word of God tonight. Your promises, Lord, oh, they're real to me. Hallelujah. He's real to me. So real to me. My precious Lord is real. My soul demands reality. My precious Lord is real to me. He's real to me. So it does. Oh, my precious Lord is real to me. He's real to me. So real to me. My precious Lord is real. My soul demands a reality. My precious Lord is real to me. He's real to me. So precious Lord is real to me. My soul.